test Jesus, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, who creates family and community. Amen.
Amen.
Today's gospel reading comes from the middle of a longer passage in the Gospel of Mark that functions as a commentary on discipleship. The past 2 weeks, we've been learning that a disciple breaks down boundaries. A disciple seeks peace with others through personal reflection and discernment, and then action. This week, Mark's gospel will provide some commentary on the role of a disciple in family systems. And next week, we will hear about a disciple's relationship with wealth and ponder what that means for us today. Discipleship, how we follow Jesus, impacts ourselves, our family, and our world. It is the praxis of how our faith bathes over us and is expressed into the world around us. Unfortunately, today's passage from the Gospel of Mark has been used by the church historically to shame, isolate, and judge divorced people while denying them Holy Communion, withholding God's grace. Many from the church have also used the Genesis passage Jesus refers to exclude our LGBTQIA siblings from marriage. These shaming and excluding human practices have caused much pain, and many people have left the church as a result. Recognizing that some of you here today, both in person and online, may have experienced some of these very practices, I want to offer an apology on behalf of the church. For the ways that the church may have ignored you, judged you, and rejected you, for any pain, hurt, division, or betrayal the church may have caused, I'm sorry. Nothing can undo the wrong you have endured, and I hope for you deep inner healing and peace. I now invite you to begin today's discipleship journey with me, your pastor who has been previously divorced, as we consider a piece of scripture that begins with a discussion about divorce. Our journey begins in seeking to understand the socio-historical context of marriage in Jesus' time, when marriage was primarily a political and economic decision, kind of like a merger and acquisition, where two families would go through negotiation for their families to be merged through marriage for an exchange of goods and a woman. And this merger would occur for the purpose of elevating both families. Remember, the society of Jesus was based on honor and shame, The relationship between the soon-to-be spouses had little or nothing to do with choice or preference, and certainly nothing to do with romantic love. This was a business deal that focused on providing stability and benefit to much larger family systems. And remember, in this honor and shame society, it was only the men who were honored or dishonored, not the women. Only male equals could challenge each other for honor. In Jesus' society, a man's infidelity did not bring dishonor to his wife, but if a man divorced his wife in order to remarry, the father of the divorced wife would be dishonored. And this would lead to a giant family feud, as family ties between the two families would be dissolved, bringing the economic and political consequences of shame and instability. In our passage from the Gospel of Mark, we hear that the Pharisees were once again trying to trick or trap Jesus by asking if it was lawful for a man to divorce his wife. And as Jesus often does, he answered a question with a question. What did Moses command you? The Pharisees respond by quoting Deuteronomy, saying a man can legally write a certificate of dismissal and divorce a wife with whom he is not pleased. As we have seen Jesus do over and over again, particularly in this gospel, when an issue is brought to Jesus, he redirects and refocuses his disciples onto a larger priority. Here, Jesus first highlights the hardness of heart that led to the creation of this law, thereby associating this human behavior with that of Pharaoh in Egypt, where hardness of heart brought all kinds of strife to his own people and extended family. But the nitty-gritty reasons for divorce are not the main point of focus for Jesus. Instead, he points backward, even before Deuteronomy, to Genesis, refocusing those around him on the Creator's first intentions and hopes for humanity. Jesus alludes to the creation of humans, where Adam's partner is not a second-class citizen, but she is called the Helper, with connotations in Hebrew of rescuer, a title shared in the Hebrew Bible with God, and an equal to Adam, called bone of my bone. God's egalitarian intention for humanity had been broken by humans themselves to the point where women were considered property. Our human desire for power and control, our hard-heartedness, distorts God's desire for humanity, leading to family feud, separation, and a dissolution of mutual peace. Societal practices that harm people by creating differences in power are counter to the kingdom of God. What God has joined, let no one separate. What happens when there is separation and division of families and communities? Where can we find good news? Within ourselves, our families, and our communities when they are broken, when there is discord in our homes. Our scripture passage today moves from the topic of divorce into the scene where people are bringing children to Jesus for a blessing. Jesus then points to these little children as a model for how one ought to receive the kingdom of God. There is much we can learn from children. At the start of this school year, I was asked by the preschool that operates here in the building during the week, Crossing Borders, if we would be willing to bless their classrooms and teachers and students as they prepare for a new year. So a small group of us met with them on a Saturday morning and spent a couple of hours blessing each space, each teacher, and each student. We prayed that they might be blessed in their mutual learning, in offering their gifts, and in showing forth God's love, that God might guide their learning and bring peace to their classrooms and hearts this year, so that they might be refreshed and renewed in each other daily. As I read the names of the children in each classroom, I was astonished by the diversity of names that I was reading. I like to believe that I'm fairly globally knowledgeable, but I needed help with many names. These children come from families of a diversity of cultural backgrounds, ethnicities, religions, economic statuses, and language. I learned that the staff itself represents at least 13 countries, again bringing a rich diversity of experiences to the school community. And I thought about my own daughter, who attends Crossing Borders, who is cared for and learning from this diverse group of teachers, some of whom wear hijabs. If you come into the building and you walk through on any day of the week, you will see these people of all ages caring for each other, showing love and compassion as part of one school family. Children especially seem to be born with a sense of acceptance of people and experiences with genuine care and compassion for all. This compassion and love is witnessed through smiles and hugs and kind offers of help each and every day by the global community gathered here for learning. How can this be witnessed outside of these walls into our broader Houston community? This past week, I attended a celebration of the lives of the three amigos who visioned Interfaith Ministries of Greater Houston, one of our mission partners. And after honoring the vision of the three amigos, discussion progressed into a call for more amigos to join together, to listen deeply to the community's needs, and then to have courage to act in interfaith partnerships for the common good. I also attended an event with Memorial Assistance Ministries where I learned about their entrepreneurship program that helps local families move out of poverty through small business development. The same week, I was invited to a presentation given by the Bonyuk Institute at Rice University to the Aspen Institute on the subject of religious pluralism and data trends. There I was disheartened to hear data showing increased hostility, harassment, religious bias, threats, and physical violence directed especially toward our Muslim and Jewish neighbors. Something happens from childhood to adulthood where we move from being innocent children who easily invest in friendships with those different from ourselves into adults who carry prejudice and fear, who see people as other, who try to maintain control and power. This plays out all too vividly today as we see our human brokenness manifest into war, violence, and strife all over the world. So where is the good news? The good news is that even when we break our promises to each other, God's promises remain secured. The good news is that even when we are the subject or object of unfaithfulness, God is still faithful to us. The good news is that even when we do not forgive ourselves or another, God continues to forgive us. The good news is that when we are tired or angry or heartbroken, when we are feeling abandoned and shamed and broken beyond repair, God is there, suffering alongside us, and God remains there through seasons of pain, holding us with a tender embrace that will not let go. This is the good news. This is the promise our faith is lavishing upon us. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection witnesses that Jesus remains in solidarity with God and with humanity in our suffering. The human families we find ourselves in are imperfect. Our hearts can be hard, our promises broken. We move from being children full of love and acceptance into quests for power and perfection that cannot be found in each other. At the same time, the family that God calls us into, God's kingdom, is one of forgiveness, restoration, and inclusion, especially of the least, the marginalized, and the powerless, a kingdom where we join together for the common good of all. Discipleship is hard, but we are on the way, and God makes the way. Our discipleship calls us to support people in their marriage journeys, in their divorce journeys, in their singleness, and to stand in solidarity with the LGBTQIA community. Our discipleship calls us to seek wholeness, equality, and peace in areas of brokenness, violence, and strife. Our discipleship calls us to hold dear the image of God in all people, especially those who are different from ourselves culturally, politically, socially, and religiously, until the kingdom of God is fully realized. Even when we are feeling vulnerable and helpless like a child, we still have the ability to experience, to relish in, and to have access to the kingdom of God, which is already here for us to receive with a childlike joy. God's promises are sure. God's steadfast, ongoing, never-ending love and grace are poured out upon each of us each and every day, empowering us to share that grace and love with others in our world who are hurting and broken. Thanks be to God, and let it be so. Amen.
Amen.